Unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth. We seldom met with, even in 100,000 million councils. Now we can see and hear, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the root is true, one with myself.
This is the Buddha, this is the Dharma, this is the Sangha. There's an area in eastern Washington, and if I remember correctly, I think it's about 18,000 miles in size, 18,000 square miles. That's quite large. There's called the Channeled Scab Lands. It was called Scab Lands because when the white people first came to that area, they could see that the ground was, it looked like scabs on flesh. It was all the covering, you know, what would be normally topsoil had been scrubbed away, it looked like. And it's called Channeled Scab Lands because there's channels through it, like there was once rivers running through it. There's even at least one, and I don't know, maybe more, dry falls where there was obviously water going over a fall at one point. Now it's completely dry. It's so arid, it's desert or near desert out there. People puzzled about what could have caused this, but it became more obvious when people were able to fly in airplanes and get up above it, high up above it, and look down on it. To the geologists who did that, it looked like an area that had been washed by a great amount of water. You could even see the ripples in the land. Great ripples, though. Vast ripples. Such as you see on a beach when water recedes or in a stream when water flows. And people still speculated about it. It seemed preposterous that water could have done this on this scale. And then someone had this idea about these great floods from these great lakes that formed when the ice started to recede thousands of years ago and got dammed up. And then the ice dams broke and then vast amount of water was released and flowed all the way from Lake Missoula over in Montana and Idaho, all the way out to the Pacific Ocean through the Columbia River Gorge, and made these features in eastern Washington on the way. There was also a Lake Columbia, I think it was called, that was actually in northern Washington as well. And it flooded the Wenatchee area when it released. And these happened many times. This happened many times. So I'm sure it was quite rough on the local inhabitants when it happened. I've been studying a couple of Rinmaster Meitan's poems from her retreat that she did here back in, I guess it was 2001, maybe 2002, somewhere in there. I'm I'm sending a couple of her poems to music. One of them I've set to music, another one I'm working on at present, and hopefully approaching the end of that work. The latter of these two, the first line is, "Here alone with God so near." Here alone with God so near. She was doing a retreat at the time, and if anyone has done a private retreat knows, you can feel very alone at times, very, very alone. And she was working through some very difficult things, but she just had a very, very fine kensho. And so, in this page of poems that I have, that were written at this time, there are these two poems, one of which is a poem of pure gratitude to the Eternal. And the other one is this poem, "Here Alone with God So Near." Both are a wonderful, a profound expression of faith. And both seem to be strongly indicative of the way the rest of her life went, because she lived a life of courage and of faith. And it took him, it seems to me, amazing courage and faith to leave this temple at the age of 77, I think it was, 76 or 77, and go out into the unknown once again. And of course, as we all know, she ended up teaching in Victoria. Well, there is a connection between these two subjects, the geology of Eastern Washington and these poems of Hermeser Maten. Even in her periods of feeling most alone and sometimes forlorn, which is a word she uses in one of her poems, she knew that the Eternal is near and not distant and not separate. And this is true for all of us. We all possess the Buddha nature. We are all of the Eternal. It's amazing how blind human beings can be to this simple and most important of all truths. Why are we so blind to it? It's so close that we don't see it. Somehow you've got to get a perspective that allows you to see it. It's like the geologists when they could finally fly in airplanes and get way above the channeled scab lands. And now they could see what they had walked upon in a wholly new light. This is the purpose of meditation. The purpose of meditation is to enable us to comprehend, to see, to understand, to take refuge in that which is so close to us that we easily miss it altogether. In other words, the purpose of meditation is to relink us with the deepest, intuitive understanding, the deepest intuitive knowledge of our being. In the early stanzas of Great Master Tozan's poem, The Most Excellent Mere Samadhi, he says, "It is as if one looks into a jeweled mirror, seeing both shadow and substance." And in fact, the name of that poem is The Most Excellent Mirror, Samadhi. Samadhi, the word samadhi just refers to a state of deep meditation. It is as if one looks into a jeweled mirror, the most beautiful, the most wonderful of all mirrors, as if one looks into it, and there one can distinguish shadow from substance. The shadow in the mirror, the shadows flitting in the mirror, flitting, coming and going in the mirror. Those shadows are our thoughts, our feelings, opinions, ideas, desires, like and dislike. In fact, it is in truth the whole of transitory reality, the whole of impermanence. That's the shadows arising and passing in the mirror. The substance is the eternal, which does not arise and pass, and which is so near to us because we are of it. It is all of me. It is all of you.